There are many decisions that we make as we go through life. Will you go to college? Will you go into the military? Will you go straight into the workforce? Who will you date? Who will you marry? Will you buy a house? Will you rent? Will you have children? How many children will you have? Will you change your life for the sake of your job? What kind of car will you drive? How much money are you going to spend on a car? We could go and list 100 things of choices we're going to make. We had to make a choice today what clothes we were going to put on. We're going to choose where we go to eat. We're going to choose what we do this afternoon, this evening. We make hundreds of decisions every day. Some are important. Some will determine where we spend our eternity. How many times when we make a decision do we stop and consider Bible principles that we need to on making decisions? So this morning for a few minutes, I want to talk about choices that we can make. Before we get into the lesson, I also want to welcome everyone. It's so good that we have everyone able to be out this morning. And we rejoice, Mara, with you and Ryan on your good news. Joshua 24 and verse 15 says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is a very well-known verse talking about choosing to serve the Lord. But then, as I mentioned, there are so many other choices that must fall in line with this main one. And again, the choice is yours. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 14. "But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land in which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them." Throughout the Old Testament, we see choices offered. Choose this, and this is going to happen. Choose the other, and this is going to happen. As we have mentioned in our Wednesday evening class on coping with problems, we have so many choices that we are faced with in life. And that is part of what causes our problems. All the different things, good things that are out there, then there are things that are neutral. There are just so many things to make choices from. And what did we say we have to do when it comes to our life and all of the choices? We have to prioritize. We have to put God first. And then when we put God first, everything else is going to fall into line. When you prioritize, all the important stuff gets done. Some of the choices, some of the decisions that we have to make, we might erase them off our list and say, "I don't even need to consider doing this because I'm putting God first." We realize the importance of prioritizing. I think to me, it's very evident in the business world. John Maxwell, a famous business expert, said, "Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you." Now, in business, decision-making is critical because the owners are dealing with money and if the business is going to survive or not. And this business person, John Maxwell, takes this a step further. And that life's a matter of choices. Every choice you make makes you. We could say right now, today, we are the sum total of the choices that we have made up to this point. Good or bad, our choices make us. Sometimes some Christians have a hard time deciding what to do in a specific situation that calls for a clear decision. And again, you read through God's word, and his word is very clear on the clarity of the word, the commandments, the instructions that we are to do. But then something comes along and I just don't know what to do about that. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Sometimes people, they don't want to make a decision. They don't want to choose a side. We used to say they like to sit on the fence. They don't want to choose this side or that side. They want to be right down the middle. But friends, we can't do that with our life. We can't do that in religion. So this morning, I want us to consider some questions that we need to ask when we are planning to make some decisions. Questions to ask when we plan to make decisions. Things in our life, things in our spiritual life, everyday things. The first one is, can you ask God to bless your decision that you make? You've got a choice between several different things. A lot of times, we go ahead and we make up our mind, and then we tell God, we want you to approve the decision that I already made, instead of seeking out his will and waiting for direction. Again, throughout the Old Testament, you see so many people that would pray to God, asking God to show them, what should I do? Where should I go? And seeking God's counsel. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. In our decision making, we want God to bless the decisions that we make. Again, some of them are inconsequential. Some of them are going to determine where we spend eternity. Numbers 6, beginning at verse 22, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Isn't this a beautiful saying that we would want to apply to our life, to our family? The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. You see, we need to ask God to bless our decisions that we make so that we will have a blessed life. Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Again, as we were talking in class this morning about having the Spirit living in us, and we invite the Spirit in, we're baptized, but we take his word and we put his word on our heart. We want the words, the thoughts of the Holy Spirit of God, of Christ, to be on our heart so we can speak those words, so we can do those words. Consistency. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. So many times a decision comes along and we just, it's like pulling a number out of a hat or something. We don't put any thought into it. How would our life be if we took a little more time to slow down and make decisions about things? Well, when we make a decision, can we thank God for it? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, we ask God to bless the decision that we want to make. And I'll just use a job for an example. God, I want to get this job. Please, please bless my decision to do this or to do that. And then, can we thank God for it? And sometimes when we look at this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sometimes we have to thank God when he gives us a no. Because we do not know, if I'm asking for this and he gave it to me, that might be the worst thing for myself. We need to thank God for the good things. We need to thank God for the bad things that happen. I heard a man say one time, he said, and he had a business partner, and he said, whenever something bad would happen in their business, he would say, thank you, God. And then he would say, now we got to find out what good can come from this. And the older you get, you realize that's part of what life is about. When something bad comes along, you thank God for it, because that's when you're going to learn some of the more important lessons of life. But when we make our decisions, can we thank God for it? Are we going to do this to the glory of God? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is this something questionable? You know, just again, to make up an illustration, I might be praying for a job and somebody offers me a job driving a beer truck to take beer around to stores. And I would think, oh, God answered my prayer. That was something in front that was offered to me, but would, if I took that job, would I be doing that to the glory of God? We need, again, to think of the consequences of our actions and our decisions. See, God wants us to recognize that our hearts are his temple. It's the sacred ground where God himself walks among us, because our hearts are God's dwelling place. And that's why it's imperative that we separate them from the ordinary ground of the world. As we were talking about in 2 Timothy, a good soldier does not become entangled in the affairs of the life. So this does not mean that we go off and live by ourselves and never interact with the world. But it's a call to recognize that our hearts are God's home, and we must disentangle ourselves from the snares that might pull us into compromising the place of God's dwelling. We are presented with that temptation many times, different ways in different parts of our life. Again, someone young starting off in a career, the choices that they are offered, do I go with this company? Do I go with that company? The people that they marry, do I marry this person? Do I marry that person? And then sometimes too, just with job and family, sometimes we need to recognize, it's not about me. Am I doing this to the glory of God? I'm going to get a job. God's going to provide me a job. God's going to provide me a family. And I'm going to make it the best job. I'm going to make it the best family that God will enable me to make it. And we get caught up, though, comparing ourselves to our neighbor's job and our neighbor's family, our neighbor's car, our neighbor's this, our neighbor's that. And we aren't making decisions based on what is best for me and my soul and my family, but we start making decisions just to keep up with others. Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Again, we've got to have our priorities right. We've got to seek the spiritual things in life. We've got to choose the spiritual over the physical. When we choose the spiritual over the physical, God is going to bless us. He's going to bless us. He may not make us rich, and again, that may be the worst thing for us. He's going to give us what we need, and then he's going to give us riches that the world just cannot understand. You think about the riches of a family in Christ, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers in Christ. The world, you can't put a price tag on that, and the world doesn't understand that. The peace of mind that we can have by making the right decision, that I am walking in step with God's word, and I am in his favor, and he is not going to hold anything against me. Friends, these are riches that the world just does not understand. And Paul was praying that their love would abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment and understanding. Prove those things that are excellent. Those things that are excellent. It's not talking about parts of life, the stuff that life is made of. Well, when we make a decision, we're going to do it to the glory of God. Is our decision going to be a stumbling block to others, or is it going to help them to follow Christ? 1 Corinthians 8:13. "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." Now, Paul had the choice to do what he wanted to do, but he took into consideration his brother. And if something was going to cause his brother to stumble, if something would cause his brother maybe to even lose the faith or go in the wrong way, he would never do it, even though he had a right to do it. So sometimes people make a decision and it's just black and white to them. I'm going to do this. I don't care what anybody says. I've heard people say that. Probably a lot of us have heard people say that. I'm just going to do this. I don't care what you think. I don't care what people say. Well, we need to be a little more sensitive to how the decision that we make, because it's maybe something with my life, but what if somebody else is watching me and then it leads them down the wrong road? If food makes my brother stumble, I'll never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. We have people in the Lord's body at all different levels of learning. Some are babes, some are mature, some are growing. And we need to be considerate in what we do and encourage everybody to grow, to work together. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." We want to keep ourselves, again, pure, without spot or blemish, not entangled in this world. We're just passing through here. Some of the things that people make decisions on, it's like they don't realize in a matter of a few years, it's not going to matter at all. We're just passing through. And none of us know how long we're going to have to live. We might die today. We might die tomorrow. We need to put a little more emphasis on the decisions of an eternal nature and not worry so much about the physical things from day to day. When we make a decision, are we doing this to please God or to please people? Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Ephesians 6:7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. How would we make application with this question? Are we doing it to please God or to please people? Well, you see this again. It affects people at different times of their life. There's peer pressure. And when you're young, maybe when you're in school, junior high, high school, maybe early 20s, different time for different people, but there is peer pressure to go along and to do something. Come on, we're going to go do this. We're going here, we're going there. And you may not want to, but well, everybody else is doing it and I don't want to be the odd person out. And it puts pressure on people and they aren't doing something to put God first. They forgot back to number one, prioritize, put God first. They forgot that, but I don't want them to think I don't like them or I want to be accepted or whatever. They might make you feel guilty. You know, and again, a teenager, they don't go along. The crowd's going to try to make them feel guilty for not being part of the crowd. Friends, it doesn't matter what people think of us in the end. What matters is what God thinks of us. And if we are doing what is right, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. We often use this in talking about in the workplace, and I think it's appropriate there. Whatever we do it as we're doing it for the Lord. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. We should make our decisions based on God, putting God first, pleasing God. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. And friends, if it doesn't please God, why are we even thinking about it? Let that sink in for a minute. If it doesn't please God, why are we even thinking about it? And you know, I've seen, it's like in the last so many years, maybe it's been going on all the time, and I just didn't have my eyes open to it, but it's like people just react. And I think part of it came out along the same time with the cell phones, and you get these little alerts and a bing, 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 and people react to them. And on a bigger scale, the things that are going on in life, there's a bing, 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 and people don't stop and consider this. Should I even deal with this? Maybe I'll deal with this later. But they want me to make a decision, so I'm going to make a decision right now. Okay, I'll do it. And then I'll do it, and I'll do it, and I'll do it. And then our life is pulled in every direction except where we ourselves should purpose in our heart what we are going to do. If it doesn't please God, why are we even thinking about doing it? Have you thought ahead about the consequences of your decision? Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So again, this is one of those universal laws, one of those God laws. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. You sow a tomato seed, you don't have to worry about getting a pumpkin. It's not going to happen. You sow a tomato seed, you know you're going to get a tomato plant. You sow this, you know you're going to get this. You sow that, you know you're going to get that. But we deceive ourselves. We think, I can make these choices. I can even make some bad choices. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to bother me. What's he saying? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't choose the wrong thing and expect it to turn out right. It's going to catch up with you. It's going to catch up with you. And then he goes on. That's saying something negatively and positively, though, sowing of the Spirit. But then he goes on to encourage, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Just as with sowing and the farmer, we know that when we make the choice to serve God, we make the choice to put Him first, we make the choice to come to Bible study, we make the choice to talk to visitors, to talk to people in the community, and we might not see anything happen right now. But we know, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That watermelon seed, that I like to eat watermelon, I can't plant that seed in the morning and eat a watermelon in the afternoon. Just doesn't work that way. I plant the seed in one season, harvest the watermelon in another season. We've been very busy planting the seed around here, and everybody's to be commended for that. We get eager sometimes and want to see the harvest the day after we plant the seed. Let us not grow weary while doing good. In due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We just keep sowing the seed. James says in James chapter 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Have you thought about this decision, how it will affect you and others? Have you thought about your decision and how it will affect God? You see, we think we want to do something and it's not going to hurt anybody. How about God? God is a jealous God. You go back to the book of Hosea. God is a jealous God. You go back to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God does not want us being married to the world. God does not want us entangled in the world. God is a jealous world, or God is a jealous God. So we need, again, we cannot separate ourselves from the world. But then another question for us to consider, what would you want to be doing, or would you want to be doing whatever you decide when Christ returns? These decisions that we make every day, you think they're inconsequential. Would you want to be doing this when Christ returns? And then think about, would you want to be doing this on the first day of the week when Christ returns? And these are things, you know, we've all seen over the years. Maybe we've done some of them. Maybe we're doing right things on the wrong time. Some people say, well, you know, I just couldn't come to services. I work all week. Weekend on Sunday, that's my day off, and I'm catching up on the housework and on laundry. That's when I've got to do my shopping. You know, I work hard all week. That's when I have my recreation on Sunday. You know, I work hard all week. I need my alone time. I just need some time by myself. You know, the family drops in. You know, it's almost time to go to services and the family drops in. I can't leave my family at home alone. I've got to stay home with them. You see, these are decisions people make all the time. You know, my boss wants me to work and I'll make overtime. I'll make a lot of money. And friends, everybody has decisions to make like this, whether it's talking about Sunday or any other day. But you take Sunday out of this and look at any of these things and you compare it to serving God. And one of the ways that you can tell if it's a good decision or not, if you have small children, what are they going to think of the reason? You know, if I say, okay, kiddies, you know, you go to services with mommy today because my boss is going to pay me a whole lot of money to come in and work for him today. What are the kids going to think? It's not going to matter how much I say later because of what they see me do. So that brings up another situation. We can make decisions on so many different things, going here, going there, what we do with our time. And somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. Maybe my neighbor is watching. Maybe my neighbor is watching and they see me every Sunday morning leave the driveway and go to services. And then the Sunday morning that they think they're going to follow me to services, instead of going to services, I go down and I go to Kroger and I go to Home Depot and I do all my shopping and see, I led them astray. I led them astray because they were watching me. They were following me. And then they think, oh, I'm not going to go to that church where he goes to. He's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. And what does God think? We've got lots of decisions to make in our life. Can you ask God to bless your decision that you make? Can you thank God for it? Are you going to do this to the glory of God? Will your decision be a stumbling block to others or help them follow Jesus? Are you doing this to please God, or are you making this decision based on pleasing people? Have you thought ahead about the consequences of your decision? And would you want to be doing whatever you decide when Christ returns? No, the world's always going to try to make us stop and second guess our decisions. You should have done this, you should have done that. But friends, the Word of God is going to be our guide. It's going to be our compass that will take us through this wilderness land into the promised land. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Friends, the stronger our faith is, the better our decisions are going to be. The better our decisions are going to be, it's going to draw us closer to God. It's going to increase our faith. God set before us the choice that Israel had: choose life or choose death. Choose life or choose death. Friends, what will your choice be today? Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.